It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and we're back, and this time we're on the third album from Black Sabbath's catalogue, Master of Reality. It was come out on the 21st of July 71, and do you know what? I'm reading off the wiki, and it says it's widely regarded as the foundation of doom metal and stoner rock and sludge metal. Fuck off, there was two albums before that, so stick that right up your arse. But this was one of the first and only top 10 albums in the US until 13, which was like 42 years later. And I would say, is this the tough third album, or is this the fucking... this As You Were, everything's continuing and everything's great? I'll give you my views later. When did you first hear this album, Joe, and where?
Oh god, it's Skull. I told you the background. I heard Black Sabbath, the first album, when I was far too young, when I was at primary school. And then I think when I came to teenage years and we started buying my own records, I started filling in the gaps then with Sabbath. And yeah, so ages ago.
Well, I heard it around probably 16, 17, when I was first getting into metal, around the other stuff. It came out well before I was born. And yeah, it's just... I think Sabotage was probably the first album I heard and the first album I had on vinyl, funnily enough, which I don't actually have. I threw away so many good albums when I was a kid. What a prick. I'm going to just briefly stop for a minute because it's something at the forefront of my mind. Ozzy Osbourne's in hospital at the moment, and it's the second time he's been in hospital in the space of a month, and he's had the flu, and this time at his age he's 70, and boy God, boy, that man has took so many drugs and had such a fucking... mad life with the shit he's done. And for me personally, I want him to get better, obviously. You've got tickets for the fucking gig as well, so in the UK that got cancelled, so I'm sure you do too. But on a serious note, let's hope he gets better. I've just got a really bad feeling about it though. I don't know what it is. It just seems to be lots of things happening to him at once, and when you're that age, you can't really fucking take anything for granted. Yeah, exactly. A flu can just knock you on your arse and turn into something else, and then that's it, you're fucked. So on a personal level, I hope he gets better, because fuck, I'm sure, like, in the back of your mind, there's been lots of news about him. You thought, let's do the Sabathon, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So let's hope he gets better, I think.
Actually, I couldn't think of anything else to do.
Well, fucking hell.
Well, we said we was going to be doing them all eventually anyway, so we did the death one last week, so I've got a couple of different ones, but it was coming, the week was coming round closer and closer, and I thought, oh well, let's just carry on with Sabbath, and
yeah,
it was one we didn't have to
too much
dive
for.
Too much into, yeah.
Yeah, we just had to listen to it, because we've listened to it lots of times, and I always like to type up a little bit of notes for it, but yeah, it wasn't too difficult this one. But at the same time, we are looking to challenge ourselves a little bit, and like anyone who's coming on, we've had people who've come on in the past, and I've challenged them this week. I've not just sat on my arse making Xboxes that glow in the dark and shit. I've been messaging people who we said we're going to get back on to come up to us with an album that is controversial, so we can fucking basically slate it or whatever, because it's harder for me to review something I don't like than something that I really love. And that's the challenge we've got for anyone who wants to come on. Basically, come on with something that's controversial so we can at least try our best to listen to it, and in a way you're forcing us to listen to it as well. Where we've given ourselves an easy ride of late, I think, and it's about time we listen to shite.
Well, it's easy. It's all right interviewing, reviewing something you really like, and reviewing something you really hate. Reviewing something that's just all right, that's when it gets challenging. Like, yeah. Especially when I'm writing reviews for magazines and that. An album that's just all right, oh god, it's torture trying to write a review for it and trying to come up with something something worth reading.
It's hard, but like I've noticed that, like, I seem to be quite good at analogies. I don't know when it comes from, like, working on the phone or being in radio or whatever for the years I was, and just chatting shit to make sales, that I seem to be quite good at summing things up with analogies. And it's really fucking hard when you don't like something. It's just like, okay, this is shit. When something's good, you can come up with an analogy for it, but when it's shit, it's just like, okay, it's shit. So we need to challenge ourselves, and we're looking for inspiration from people who listen to us. So if you think of something we could fucking do that you think, hang on, these will hate this, I'm going to make them listen to it, then torture us, make us listen to it. And if we think it's bad enough, we might get you on to actually talk to us about it and review it with us, which might be a little bit daunting for people who can't talk shite like we do for this podcast, but it would be fun to get different people on. And we're trying to get like people from bands to come on and review stuff. And yeah, that should be interesting too.
We're going to... I know Mike Tyler, who... he did Megadeth, So Far, So Good, So What with us. That was a good episode. We've been talking to him. He's going to come on again soon.
Yeah, I'll put the challenge to him about bring something
Luke's
bad.
Luke's always up for it.
Yeah, we challenged him for a bad album too.
yeah, but I said to Luke about doing Great Southern Trendkill by Pantera. And he said I would sooner do... Reinventing the Steel, and he said because he thinks that's a really underrated album. He would argue it's one of their best. I need to listen to that album again, actually. But I maybe that. Well, so you listeners, you tell us, what would you prefer when it comes to Pantera? Would you prefer Southern Trendkill or Reinventing the Steel? Tweet us, message us, let us know what you would prefer out of the Pantera episode.
I'll throw in my two cents right now for this then. Great Southern Trendkill
like
was
both,
more of a departure. I'd like to do all of them if I'm honest. But Southern Trendkill was more of a departure. And kind of, you've got them nice, happy, sad feelings going on, which wasn't a Pantera thing at the time. So it was more of a jump than what they'd done before.
I think if we did Vulgar Display though, it'd be like the Paranoid episode. It'd be
How often do you listen to stuff
as much as I love Vulgar Display of Power? I could quite happily never listen to it again. I don't need to.
No.
I actually don't need to.
I know every single
riff in my brain. Yeah,
all the beats, all the lyrics, backwards, forwards. Yeah, I couldn't, and maybe we shouldn't, because it would just be like, yeah, it's like putting on them.
I wouldn't complain if it came on.
No, like, yeah, if it came on in the bar, you'd be like, yeah, drinking away, getting into it. But like, would I put it on? No.
Nah.
So,
nah.
Let's start as we mean to go on. Sweet Leaf.
Yeah.
This is about weed, isn't it?
Do you think?
just a bit.
It's about tea.
It's about herbal tea. I loved it the first time I heard it. It grates on me like fuck now, though. It's not a shit song, but like, it's still a good opener. I've still got lots of love for the speed up in this song. And then it shifts down the gears. It just feels like Ozzy just moans all the way through this song. I just get that kind of feeling from it. And I just can't get away from it. And it just feels like he drones on a little. It's still a great song. It's just, it's not one that for me has aged as well as others that Sabbath have done in the previous albums. Sweet Leaf is known, and it's a good song. And I love weed. I like a good smoke as much as the next pothead. But this one, no. It hasn't aged well. I got to a certain point with this particular song where I'm just like, nope, skip it. And yeah, that's it's a great opening and it works for this album, but as far as me listening to it now, I'll tend to skip it.
I still quite like Sweet Leaf, actually. I like that groove, and I think one thing Sabbath, I really like this era of Sabbath now. Sort of from this album onwards, we get kind of experimental and quite jammy. They kind of go, I like the way they go off on little tangents. They really turn that up on the next album. We'll get to volume 4 when we get to it. But the sort of starting of it is here. You can kind of tell on this album, they'd sort of really settled into their sounds. They kind of were finding their sounds on Sabbath. Scaled down the bluesy bits and turned up the heaviness with Paranoid. Even though you still had Planet Caravan, like a really mellow song, that kind of took another turn. So they were kind of just sort of shedding certain bits of the sound, keeping others whilst adding other bits. And they do that here. And I kind of get the... To be honest, I get the doom thing. The way a doom, like say someone like Electric Wizard, if you what's that album called? Oh fuck, it doesn't matter. But yeah, if you listen to someone like Electric Wizard or Cathedral, or like later day Cathedral,
Paradise Lost. Early Paradise Lost, where it was just boom, ringing out fucking chords and stuff.
Death metal though, wasn't it? But
it was doomy though.
Yeah, but you know, like those stonery sort of bands.
Icon was the kind of like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Icon. Yeah. But yeah, those bands now where it's all Anton LaVey on the front cover and singing songs about fucking
goat sex
horror films. Yeah, and I can get that sort of crunchy, buzzy kind of guitar was on this album, definitely. I kind of get it with that.
They've honed the sound and they've stuck to it. I'll have to say as well, I listened to the remaster on
Sabbath
this one.
Didn't know.
Well, no,
the early albums were really experimental. Like, a lot of people don't kind of forget that. That was the problem with 13. It was like, it sounded like the Sabbath sound. It was like, yeah, but Sabbath, the original Sabbath didn't really sound like that much. Not as much as they're given.
Not so much the noise. I'm talking about the style. They'd found their style and they did push it out slightly in this album, and I'll talk about that later, but they found their certain style, the meander and bass that will do nice little fills in between the solos that will just gradually take you where you're going next, and then the speeds up in the middle of the songs. They kind of honed that a little bit, and on the third album it was like, yeah, more of the same, which isn't a bad thing because the last two albums were fucking awesome. But this one, it's a great opener. It's one of them songs. It's kind of like a Paradise City. It's kind of like that. It grates on me now because of it's just being constant, as it were. And it's normally something, if you're listening to your Planet Rocks or something like that on the radio or any rock station around the world, that you'll probably hear Sweet Leaf come on at some stage and you're just like, yeah, okay. I wouldn't hate it if it was on in the background in a pub, but at the same time, I'm not going to throw pounds and fucking click play this because it's been done to death. And that's where I am with it. I just feel like it just kind of feels like, I don't know, he's just kind of moaning and it drones on. Because Ozzy's got that kind of voice where he could be exciting, but at the same time, he can kind of drone on as well. It depends which Ozzy turns up at the gig as well, because you can be at a gig with Ozzy, whether it's with Sabbath or something else, he could turn up and you're just like, oh.
That is the problem with Ozzy, yeah. He will either give you the performance of a lifetime, Or it'll be, you can tell when he's going for the motions with Ozzy.
Yeah, and, I feel like Sweetleaf is going through the motions then to cap that song off for me.
Mainly. Like, I really wanted to go to this new current tour because it's the last one, and it was like, well, watch him while he's here, you know. But
let's hope he's still around. Like after this bout of illness, that's all I can say. We know we've gone on about it, but yeah, I've just got the fear on this one, so I will repeat myself but slightly. After Forever, what the fuck is this about? It's kind of a happier sounding track compared to the moaning of the first, upbeat tempo and the cure to the last one. The main riff sounds far too happy to be a Sabbath song. No, what the fuck?
The lyrics of this song always struck, like, always a little bit eye-raising, because it's a pro-God song.
Yeah, it's not
good. Which is funny for heavy metal, and it really was, because you can, certain people that I know, you can tell them all day that Black Sabbath weren't a satanic band. They were just kind of christened it because of the imagery on the first album.
They ran with it.
But yeah, Geezer Butler apparently wrote this just to fucking, you know, throw a spanner in the works, all that. It didn't work. People still think what they think.
No,
it's interesting. You know, you wouldn't get a metal band singing a song like this nowadays.
No, it's not going to win any awards for poetry or nothing. But, like, this for me is just, like, it's early filler. The bass is excellent, and the bass is always going to be excellent with Sabbath. But, like, there's more songs on this album that do a lot more than this. And yeah, the more it goes on, this song, and there's no really, really sort to the point songs besides the shit ones that come on later on, and there you go, I'm giving something away. But I think there's a Tale of Two Sabbaths going on this album, and I'm going to say that from track two. There's a Tale of Two Sabbaths, and this is the tale that I'm not really into. And this is not the top straw stuff. This is pales in significance to the other. For me, I'm just not doing it. It's too happy. It's not Sabbath. And yeah, I didn't enjoy it. Just didn't enjoy it. I couldn't get into it. I know we were looking for something for me to bitch about, but we found it in something that I wasn't
really...
I think we may have found it here.
This is some people's favourite Sabbath album with two songs in and he's caning it.
This one, it's too happy. It's too nice. It's just like, yeah, happy, bash your tambourine. Fuck off. I just couldn't get into it. I'm sorry. And then we got this stupid intro. So what do you got to say about a stupid... Is it an intro or is it just like, what? What is it?
Yeah, it's an intro. It's the intro to the next song.
Well, it's a Bardi type intro, and it reminds me of Brave Sir Robin, Brave Sir Robin. It's Bardi. It's like a guy with a lute. And there's lots of that going on in this album as well, it's just a lute and it's bollocks.
Well, when they play Children of the Grave, which we might as well just skip this 28 second
27
song.
27 seconds.
Yeah, it's the intro to Children of the Grave, and they even do play Embryo when doing this song. So it's the intro. But right, Children of the Grave. Come on, then, let's have it. What's wrong with this?
There's nothing wrong with this. This is where it swaps gears from the previous two and a bit. No, we're not going to have a row. This should have opened the album. Without a shadow of a doubt, should have opened the album.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Never thought of it like that before, but now you've said it. I'd agree with you.
Yeah, because it's purposeful. It's Ozzy using his unique voice and nailing it. It's Bill Ward smashing it on the drums and on point. It's got all the good elements of the band coming together, and they fucking nail it. And the slow riff is immense, evil, demonic sounding, and is the best track so far by fucking like a fucking leaps and bounds. And it's one when you're singing along to this one. The first three songs are shit all over by this one, and the bass pummels you along and it fucking punches you in the head, and the guitar solos, it's just everything seems to fucking nail it. And the riff at the end, it's okay, it's fucking awesome, but then it tails off to Stupid Noise, and Sabbath known for doing stupid noise, but that's okay. Children of the Grave is a great fucking song. They're dun 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 dun. Amazing. Fucking great track.
I love this song. I think this is arguably my favourite Sabbath song. It's a song apart from Paranoid, this is like another one. Maybe Iron Man. They normally finish the set with this, don't they? And then the encore's Iron Man and Paranoid. But
this has a longer shelf life.
It's a song I never get sick of. This song, I'm sick of Paranoid,
Iron Man as well to a certain extent. But this has a bigger shelf life.
But this I don't get sick of. I think it's just a perfect rock song. It's got fantastic, catchy fucking riff, catchy hooks, great. It's not really a chorus, but the old dun dun. You know, it's just a good road song. And I think even I would even say, this is a more accessible song than Paranoid. If people hear Paranoid, they think, oh yeah, Black Sabbath, heavy metal, blah. But I think you could slip this in a bar.
No one would notice.
And yeah, it would blend in with, say you had like a generic American sort of bar, like a TGI Fridays or something like that, where they've got rock music, but it's pretty soft. Got a bit of Rolling Stones. You could slip this in with that sort of thing, Planet Rock, you know. And but it's still fucking heavy. That's the best part of it.
It has got that heavy overtones to it, even though it's the guitar sounds and the distortion wasn't there then. The chunk wasn't there. It's the riffs itself which bring the heaviness, which is one thing that's good.
Going on in the background as well, it always bothered me because they never do it live. In live, it's just dun 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 dun, like the drums. But in the thing, so during a dun 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 dun, you have this going on.
It sounds like he's playing pots and pans or something. It sounds like he's hitting a pan or something.
Or it's like he's shaking something.
Yeah. like, okay.
And they never do it live.
Let's ask a question then. So, first three songs, well, two and a one-fifth of a song. Is this, like, when we're talking about Gravitas, this song is the fucking, this one is like 100 of fucking the previous three, in my opinion. It's a lot better. What do you think?
I actually like Sweet Leaf and After Forever, to be honest. I like this album. But I think I got the sense from you, I'm getting from you with this album what I kind of had with Paranoid. Like, again, Paranoid was a weird episode for me, because it wasn't that I didn't like the album. It was just I didn't know what to say, like, about War Pigs, that no one didn't already think, but because we said we were going to do all the Sabbath albums. This is kind of like, because when the show started, well, not when the show started 4 years ago, when we said we was going to start doing albums, I was reluctant to do Rain in Blood. I went, no, let's do Divine Intervention. And I've kind of gone a bit soft as the thing went, let's just do classics.
Because everyone does the classics, though. That's the thing, and we want to be different.
So I wanted to do the Oddball album.
Yeah.
And I thought, we can't do Oddball on everyone. But so what we said, like, you know, with Death, we've started at the beginning. Sabbath, we've started at the beginning. With Testament and Slayer, we've sort of started at the 90s.
Yeah, which was a hard time for that kind of metal.
And we're going to work our way up to the current album.
Yes.
And then start at the beginning. So, and go back to the debut and do it that way. So we're going to do like the Star Wars. But yeah, Paranoid we kind of had to get through. So I'm kind of getting that vibe off of you with this album. But I'm more receptive to Master of Reality today, because I kind of listen to it when I want to, rather than War Pigs comes on at every gig in the background between bands.
It does.
You know, there's no way you're going to see Ozzy and he's not going to play War Pigs. While Sweet Leaf is a bit more of a mainstream, so I'm hear myself contradicting myself, because I just said Children of the Grave, but I've never got sick of Children of the Grave, and I've never got sick of Sweet Leaf either. I mean, I know what you kind of mean with Sweet Leaf, though. It does kind of drone a bit. I've always enjoyed After Forever, though.
I just find it to be the odd one out, though. It just comes after Sweet Leaf droning on. It comes on, it's like, yay! It's like,
I know what you mean with the a bit of an upbeat riff.
It doesn't sound Sabbathy. It's just kind of like they've pissed about and they went, yeah, it's just to go with it and stick it on. And maybe that was the case. Do they still do this? I'm not sure I've ever heard them play it.
What, After Forever?
Yeah, I've never heard them play it.
I'll get back to you on that one. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, we'll look into that one, and maybe if we remember, we'll talk about it.
Sweet Leaf. I know they did Sweet Leaf on that reunion live album. Sweet Leaf's on that.
I know they've done it when I've seen them as well. And I wasn't arsed, to be honest. I'm still not arsed now. Orchid, okay. It's more bardy shit. It's a bit longer. It's nice, though. And it's a brief, pleasant track, unlike the last bardy shite. But there's not really much more I can say about it. It's nice. It's not like what was the other one they done? Down, 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 down. That was nicer. This is just, I don't know, it's just filler. It's nice, but it's 20.
I quite like this, but it should go on a bit longer.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I think it'd be a nice little instrumental, but it's not. It's just an interlude. But do we really need an interlude in a 35-minute long album?
Yeah, could this have been an EP?
With this in Embryo, it would be now, because it's only six songs, really. But if this went on a bit longer, it'd be a nice little instrumental. But something about it I do like.
No,
it
it's kind of
reminds me of. It reminds me of Christmas.
It's pleasant. and it's not horrible. It's not 27 seconds of Brave Sir Robin, but it's still got that bardy fucking shit going on. But yeah, it's not horrible. But there's not much more.
I think, though, the little instrumentally bits on the early Sabbath albums, they were something I quite missed later on. I quite liked them. And I think maybe the fact that they were so short, it kind of gave you a little look into just how fucking talented Tony Iommi really is. because again, everyone just remembers the slow doomy stuff later on. But they really did have a lot going on in those first eight albums. There was a lot of musical.
The
Sunrise was a nice one.
Yeah, I'm trying. What's that one I'm trying to think of? The instrumental down 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 down.
That's the one. Yeah, that's what I just said. Laguna Sunrise.
No,
what is that on?
No,
that
that's not Laguna Sunrise. The other one.
No.
It's got the piano on.
Is that on volume four or Sabbath?
I can't remember, but like me missus likes that
one
as well.
I talking about.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck that song is, that is their best instrumental by far.
Oh, I'll tell you one I do like. It's a you go and then it comes on with a lot of choir. Yeah,
that
reminds me of some
old
horror film.
I remember it, right?
They used to come on to that. They used to be the intro track before the band kicked in.
My mate used to live, and he's not my mate now, but like he used to live in this really rough part of Bootle. And we used to smoke like weed and listen to Sabbath. And we had spots. Did you ever have spots where if you smoke weed, you put a little bit of pot on the end of a needle, and put a pint glass, let the pint glass fill full of smoke, and then inhale the smoke, and it would just just basically a cheap fucking poor man's bong. And we'd smoked a load of them on. I like he put that album on, and I'm lying there just like literally lying there, because he didn't have a couch. He'd just moved in that night. It was the first night he'd moved into this flat in a fucking shithole part of the fucking Liverpool. And that come on, and I'm lying there monged off my head, and that song comes on, and I'm just like Cesar, I think the name is. Yeah. And it just made me fucking freak out. Down now, bow now, bow now, bow now, now, bow, 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 bow now. Fucking great track. That is another one that's probably up there. But yeah, that's the memory I've got attached to that song, is actually pulling the whitey, stopping the tape, and just saying, I need to drink, I need to just chill out. Because of that fucking song. So it takes us on to Lord of This World. What a riff. This riff is instantly recognisable anywhere. This album's got massive songs on it, but it's got instantly forgettable ones as well. And like this song in particular is my favourite track on the album. Singing along to it, bass guitars, all doing the shit, Ozzy nailing it. When this band gets it right, this band fucking nails it. There's no one else in the world who listens to heavy metal and rock cannot tell me that Black Sabbath don't fucking nail it. Lyrically, it's on point. The breakdown in the middle is fucking spot on. And this is this is like some of the music that made me think that bass players can be something other than a one-note wonder. Every instrument is kind of given their own, and it's like a puzzle, and they're all kind of fitting in together, and it works, and you can hear it all. Nothing's hidden, nothing's fucking muffled, none of that shit. And you know that what's coming up. If you've listened to it as many times as I have, you know what's coming up with this song, and you're looking forward to the changes because you know it's going to just get better for you. And it's like, yeah, this is a fucking top track. The Lord of This World is a fucking top track. And it's kind of fucking up there for me in Sabbath's best tracks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, with the Tale of Two Sabbaths, you said the first half of the album's like really overrated and overplayed, whilst the next second half of the album is full of the underrated and the underplayed and full of little treasures. Would you agree with that, or
it's a kind of without giving too much away,
we're fucking halfway I can
dump lots of tracks and make it a better EP than an album, if I'm honest.
Take into context though at the time this came out, because it was an album a year at this point. I mean, this album, what was it, let's quickly go back. You had Sabbath in 1970, Paranoid in 1970, and this in 1971, and then Volume 4 in 1972. So from 70 to 72 they had four albums, so I think it's safe to say this one was kind of cobbled together, but because the next one came along so quick, it didn't really matter. It's what we're doing is separating the albums and looking at them one by one. But I've always thought of those first eight albums as just one collection.
Oh, this was shit they were jamming for fucking donkey's years in the
same
clubs
as
and
the
pubs.
Beatles, I suppose. I really never listened to the Beatles one album at a time. It sounded like a box set. I have to go through all the albums.
Yeah, they jammed a load in Germany and all over the country. So it's with Sabbath. They probably was jamming on this for years before they even got put down and recorded. So
it's just one big collection of songs rather than. It's interesting doing them one by one, but yeah, Lord of the Worlds, all right. It's I like everything. I don't, you know, even the funny weird albums that came later, Technical Ecstasy and Never Say Die. I kind of come round to them as I've got older, but yeah, this was a bit of it's a bit like Fairies Wear Boots. It kind of just dun, you know, it kind of just loops round to that. So this is probably my least favourite, to be honest.
That riff at the beginning is immense, though. Come on.
Yeah, it's a good riff, don't get me wrong.
Just imagine it. Just imagine it, right?
It does drone a bit.
I know there's been covers of it, but just imagine it with the modern guitar sounds, the modern fucking sounds of distortion.
I can imagine Crowbar or someone. Yeah.
Proper meaty. It's meaty riffs, and that's the thing. The production, the sounds of guitar distortion wasn't there at the time, because fuck me, it's older than I am. But like, imagine it with modern production techniques, modern fucking distortion, nice sounds of distortion, not that tinny shit you get fucking now mostly. But like, imagine that now. The riff is immense. The riff is fucking huge. And we had the last album we reviewed, it was just riff. The riffs are here. The production values isn't, but it's good enough to not play a part in my viewing of certain songs.
I like the during the solo section is quite nice. It's quite sort of sorrowful the way he goes into the melody. That, you know, it goes off on one a little bit, and it gets kind of jammy leading up to it. But all of Tony Iommi's solos are fucking immense anyway. But yeah, no, I would say it's not a bad song at all, but this is as bad as the album gets for me. It's probably my least favourite on the album, but nothing particularly wrong with it either.
Okay, so it takes us on to the next one. I'm just going to stop for a minute. You keep cutting out, but I'm just going
to
try and guess when you've shut up by looking at the dodgy video.
Older thingy.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
Yeah. I'm just looking at the little video thing when your lips stop moving, guessing when to talk.
I can't see me on it. Let me turn the video off.
Well, you can't see me, but like, it's one of them. Okay, so
hopefully
that takes us on to Solitude. It's a nice mellow one, and it's the second to last track. It's moody, but it's got like a country bumpkin feeling to it somehow, and it's a bit bardy as well. It isn't a bad song, but yeah, after, for me, Lords of This World was fucking, it was great. This feels like they spunk the musical load. And it's not a great song to follow the last one. It's not terrible, and it's not one of their best ballads by far. And like, there's so much polar opposites. This song is like, it's like bipolar. It's the definition of being bipolar. You can be great, and then you can be really shit. And Solitude for me is fucking really shit. It's got so many opposites going on. I don't know. I don't like it. I can understand people liking it, but no. I don't like it. I think it's a shit song.
Well,
it's a shit song.
I'll tell you
what it is,
you and me, because I love this song. This is absolutely, again, this highlights the unseen, the underappreciated, and the unspoken part of Black Sabbath. When you open any poxy mainstream fucking magazine and they give you all the Black Sabbath albums raked, and you're just like, oh yeah, I know exactly how this is going to go.
Can I just pause
and
you for a minute?
No one ever brings up this song. Yeah, go on.
So the I sent you the other day the Guardian Black Sabbath list, which can go fuck itself.
You made me read the Guardian. Yes.
And I will occasionally because, okay, so I'm going to state my case for the Guardian. Okay, the opinion pieces are a load of shit, as much, but the reporting seems to be quite cut and dry, but the opinion pieces is just shite. But, like, their opinion piece on the best Sabbath albums was fucking ridiculous. It was the worst piece of garbage I've ever read. This is like The Sun. Like, I'd never buy The Sun because of The Scum, and I'm from Liverpool, and my mum was at Hillsborough, so read about that if you don't know about them. But The Scum, the Guardian just talks shit. Go and look for The Guardian's fucking opinion piece on the best Sabbath albums. It's like, fuck off.
Generally, their music and film bit is all right, but one thing with The Guardian is Dom Lawson and Joel McIver write for him, so it's I have to kind of swallow hard and read their articles, because Dom Lawson is and Joel McIver, for that matter, they're like two of the people that made me want to get into writing about music.
No, they've got good opinions, I agree, but the Sabbath
when it was the Sabbath thing, I thought, I hope this is Dom Lawson or Joel McIver, but it weren't. It was some bloke that looked like he'd never been to a metal gig in his life. And but anyway, I digress. I love the folkiness of it. I just kind of...
I can't get over that, man.
Somewhere I lived, where the village I grew... Well, where my mum lived, it was like an old village. There's old cottages there, and it's those cottages with the roofs that you have to get a new fucking roof put on it every 6 years. You know those?
Thatched.
Yeah, it looks like... like the roof's made of shredded wheat.
And, yeah.
And there's a cricket field, and there's a like nice little pub on the corner, and on the back of that.
And can
pub,
you buy Scrumpy? So,
probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of them.
And off the back, there's just this this untouched bit of field. Well, it's not field; it's like more like moors. And there's a lake running through it, and you can. It's the best place to take a dog, or you can go there. And at the winter, and that, you have the mist over it, and that, and sunsets during in this village is just beautiful. And I always thought of Sleeping Village, with that always takes me back to that village. And this is one of them. And this to me is them doing folk. I know folk gets really wanky, but I don't really listen to a lot of folk, but little bits here and there that make its way through to me that I do really like. And you got the flute in the background and beautiful singing by Ozzy Osbourne. The fact that people don't appreciate what a good singer Ozzy Osbourne is, and it's just a really delicate, really nice, mellow song. Fucking hell, if this was by Led Zeppelin, everyone would be having a wank over it. This is better than half that shit that Zeppelin did.
And I just don't like folk music.
People never talk about this song. It's a fucking, to me, it's a really great song. It's a real hidden treat, and I only ever hear this song when I play this album. So it becomes all that more special anyway, because I only ever hear it when I really want to hear it, you know? I used to sleep to this song. I used to put this song on this and Planet Caravan.
Planet Caravan is I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is 1,000 times better than this. This is a poor man's Planet Caravan. It is. Lyrically, sonically, everything. This is just...
Everyone bangs on about Planet Caravan, but people only fucking know that song because... Do you know what? I used to be in a band with someone who fucking thought that was a Pantera song. And no, that was... And it wasn't Rob. Give Rob...
it wasn't Rob the drummer. He's ginger. No. We like him, but he's still ginger. No, I knew it was a Sabbath song from the start, and
two of them together. I said that's a Black Sabbath song, and they're like, "What?" I was like,
"How long was you in the band for? Did you want to just chin them or something? Punch them right in the fucking face?" Fuck, man. I feel sorry for you in that way. Planet Caravan was the better song. And like, I don't really like folk music. I just find it...
Oh, fair enough.
Ugh. I just find it ugh. But Planet Caravan was nice.
Do you like The Wicker Man? I always like the music on The Wicker Man. And I bought like some special edition of it. Came out recently. You got the theatrical cut, the director's cut. And it came with the CD of the soundtrack.
Are we talking Edward Woodward or the remake?
There is only one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's just separate fact from fiction. Fiction is Nicolas Cage. Fact is the original. Yes.
I put the Nick. I've not even seen the Nicolas Cage one, but from what I've heard, I put it up there with the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, that thing we won't talk about.
Oh yeah, but that thing where feminists will get upset because it's shit. Yeah. No, the Wicker Man the original Wicker Man was amazing.
Up with that. Yeah. But the original. Do you like the music in the original?
Yeah, I don't actually mind it, to be fair.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't like, you know, I don't know that much about folk. I don't listen to it a lot.
Folk master.
A little bit makes its way through now and then. Normally by a metal band or some fucking black metal band, in all fairness. But I'll tell you what, Winterfellef, they've always had acoustic folky elements to the sound, and their last album they just went full bore. There's no electric guitar, no drums, it's all acoustic folky shit, and all the artwork is of valleys and, you know, open landscapes and that. It's a fucking really mellow, real beautiful album.
And I can understand the allure of it, but like, I don't know, I just can't get into it. I've just never had a thing with folk.
Fair enough. No, it's not something I've delve into often.
No, but like, actually, this is sent. Let's go on a wild tangent, because like this week I went to see Unfinished Symphony. I went to see I can't even remember the cunt's name, but the Symphony 8 Unfinished Symphony, which was recreated in this really, really posh fucking venue on AI on mobile phones. So I went there and there was free ale, so I was all in. Suited to the nine, shirt, jumper, tie, and all that bollocks. And do you know what? The first two parts of the symphony were originally written by said author, and the next bits
and
were written by the AI.
And the third one you can't remember because you were fucked.
No, I was sound, actually. I only had like 7 glasses of Prosecco. It was expensive Prosecco, but whatever. But like, yeah, the first two were deep, dark, and the melodic overtones. It was doomy. It was Sabbathy. It was kind of like there was like a underlying sense of doom with it. It was weird, but the second two were happy, and it was kind of like to pull it back to where we are. It was kind of like After Forever in a way. It was like, it's good, but it doesn't fit. And yeah, and that's what I was doing this week. So we always tend to talk about our gigs, but I'm going to do it middle of the fucking episode bit and just say, like, AI's going to start writing music for us soon enough, and we're going to like it. That's all I'm going to say. It wasn't perfect, and it didn't fit in with the original two fucking parts of the symphony. But at the same time, if a phone can do that, the people like you and me who are musicians, we're fucked in the future. Computers are just going to do everything. That's where we're going. It was weird, but at the same time, it was an interesting experience. And to sit with the posh and see how the other people live, it was an interesting experience for me. They're all wankers, and all they do is get drunk and take selfies of themselves. So, yeah. I was the most sensible person there. Can you believe it? Anyway, it's weird. No, I wasn't even pissed or nothing. It was a mad one for me. Into the void. Let's steer ourselves back into this fucking tangent fest. Riff, riff, and riff. We said riff so many times last fucking review. Everybody knows this riff. There's the opening riff. The track is on par with Lords of This World. Bass war. Anyone who loves rock and metal knows this one. The lyrical patterns kind of feel a little bit repetitive, but it's mantra-ish, and it's like a mantra when you're sitting there chanting to yourself. Like, what's the fucking Wolf of Wall Street where he's tapping his chest and he's doing that, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It's kind of like that mantra thing going on where it's got a pattern to it, a set pattern to it that's doing something, and I love it. And in the first, there's a couple of detractors. I feel like Ozzy is kind of holding it back in the first couple of opening verses. And then, like, after the middle section, he wakes up and then the pace kicks in and Bill Ward fucking does a Bill Ward. And that's not even saying it's shit. It's Bill Ward fucking smashing the fuck out of a drum kit, which I love it. And yeah, this is only a short album, and like, in my opinion, you could have lopped up a few songs off this album and just called it an EP, but like, yeah. There's some pretty annoying things in this album that shouldn't be there. The solos are on point, and this is just a perfect ending to this album. And like, I can't help but think, and I've said it since we started talking about it, that this probably should have been an EP. But if they'd done an album a year, what the fuck am I going to say? But like, yeah, the riffs on this album are just so fucking good. What a great way to finish this album. It's the perfect finisher. They didn't have the perfect opener, but they finished fucking strong, which is a sign of a good Sabbath album. They finish fucking strong. And Into the Void for me, yeah, this is tying for Lords of This World for me on one of my favourite tracks on this album. Great fucking song.
I totally agree with you. I think it's a brilliant song. And this song is really good live as well.
Mm, agreed.
When Sabbath, first reformed again, and then the whole debacle with Bill Ward kicked off.
Yep.
The first show, the first thing they did Download, but a few weeks before, they did a warm-up show in Birmingham, and it was in a theatre. It was in like a relatively small venue. Wasn't an arena, put it that way. And I managed, on a dodgy website, to get that gig on
filthy
DVD. And it was no fucking about, no special effects, no screens, no explosions, no set pieces. The band literally walked on stage and started playing like a proper gig, you know. And they opened with Into the Void, and literally just walked on stage. Oh, you're doing fucking go crazy,
Sharon,
you know. And then they all just looked at each other, just one, two, three, you know. Doom, doom, boom, boom. And it's just fucking hell. And do you remember when we watched that the last show together, and we kind of went like, this is kind of playing like a greatest hits, like they're not sort of digging deep with like some of them. This set list was completely the opposite. The set list was fucking awesome. I'd have to try and find it for you.
Yeah, I'd like to watch that. In fact, yeah, we should probably, I'll bring the laptop and we'll record,
yeah,
us watching that shit.
Yeah,
we'll watch it.
Yeah.
And record it, because...
And I'm really glad to have got hold of it, because it was only on some dodgy pirate website, basically. You got sent... You paid a stupid amount of money. I can't remember how much it was. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't ridiculous. It wasn't piss take. It was like 15 quid or something. But yeah, all I got sent was a DVD and a sleeve. I had to put it in my own case.
I felt slightly underwhelmed by the latter fucking Sabbath shows.
Probably on YouTube now.
I don't know about you, but I always felt slightly underwhelmed with the latter Sabbath shows than the earlier Sabbath shows. They got worse as they got older.
Really stuck to the hits, didn't they?
Yeah, they kind of done the greatest hits, where you want someone to, like, especially when they're coming to the end of the career, to just pull out that little diamond in the rough that no one else really likes. I know that's being slightly like, okay, it's all about me, but like, it would be nice to hear something different.
No, it would have been nice to paranoid deep cuts. Yeah. That last set list was quite literally a greatest hits. You could have got a greatest hits for a fiver in Tesco, and that was the set list. The 13 tour weren't too bad, though, if I remember correctly. I remember I think I opened with War Pigs, but then went into Under the Sun on Volume 4. That was a bit of a curveball. I was pleased to see that. But when I saw the first night, the set list, I was like, I ain't going to that. Fuck that. I saw them twice on the 13 tour. That was good enough for me.
I saw them at Ozfest, and that was fine. And Ozzy done a double shift. He done Ozzy on his own, and then...
Oh, you saw him. Yeah, did a Sabbath and Ozzy, didn't
he? Yeah. And he worked he earned his fucking money that night, but yeah, he was on fucking point. He took me from the brink of come down from several different drugs on that evening to... Right back, it was fucking ecstasy, cocaine, and weed. And it took me from, I was a party animal at that stage, it took me from the depths of despair to right back up when Ozzy come back on and smashed out No More Tears. Honest to God, I was on a come down, and anyone who's took any drugs, hallucinogenic or otherwise, when you're on a come down, it's the worst. But it brought me right back up until I got onto the fucking bus, on the wrong bus from Milton Keynes Bowl, and I was still yapping away like a little teenager, dead happy, because of the experience he had. And I've already spoke about seeing Bill Ward's knob. So we'll move on from that, but yeah. Into the Void.
I just want to... yeah, sorry, I just wanted to talk about the imagery I get whilst listening to that song as well. Do you remember like those old, really grainy, really badly animated, by today's standards anyway, cartoons?
I don't know, like Mr. Rossi.
Yeah, like the Jetsons or something.
Yeah, Mr. Rossi. Do you remember the music? Cartoons. Do you remember the music of Mr. Rossi? Mr. Rossi, what you do? Well, yeah.
No, I had one of them little ice things that you meant to make slush puppy with that never worked. That's Mr. Rossi,
like
isn't
the,
it?
Like the early Pink Panther.
Was that Mr. Frosty? Yeah.
Mr. Frosty. Rossi was
And Rocket Engine, Born and Fuel So Fast, Up Into the Night Sky.
The Jetsons.
I just remember... Yeah, I just think of space while and rockets and shit. But I, for some reason. I picture an old cartoon describing what the...
I hope I'm not the only one who remembers this. Do you remember that programme, G-Force? G-Force! And they had this fucking big rocket ship and stuff, and it was the it was like a Defenders of the Earth shit.
Yeah, vaguely.
And Ulysses... Oh, Ulysses. And there was this weird little floating orb. He's like, okay, Ulysses, I will save you. Yeah, I'm getting that vibe from this. And if someone knows what I'm talking about, please, I'm not a lunatic. I'm sure I remember it being that weird. But like, yeah, I'm getting that too, actually. It's got that manga shit feel to it. It's got that weird, like, occult manga, like, where octopus is going to come from some woman's vag.
That's got that weird stuff coming up.
Yes, space octopus vagina into the void. How the fuck did we get to that from there? That's probably me. Yeah, this is probably time for me as one of my best tracks on the album, to be completely honest. And I can't think of another track to finish other than this. I just can't. There's nothing else that stands out as much as this to finish. And I'm always a component of finish big. Start big, finish big. Mix it up in the middle, but like finish...
Well, this album for you has peaks and valleys really then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of an odd one for you.
Yeah, it's like when you're pulled and you get home and you're still drunk and you're banging away and then you sober up and realise, oh man, what's happened there? Then that's kind of like this album for me. You're like sober up and you're like, you say, yeah, I'll text you, and then you just throw your fucking pay as you go SIM card away. I never text. Not that I've done that before, but yeah, I may have done that. But like, yeah, this is just, I don't know, it's like that. It's, there's too much contrast for me. There's not enough quality. And yeah, I after the previous two albums, I expected more from this one, and I didn't actually get it. And I'm not doing my rating first because I've done my rating first for fucking every other album we've done for ages.
You say this every episode.
For the past two, I know this for a fact. For the past two, I've given it first. So fuck off and do
it
your
don't
shit.
Matter.
No, it matters to me. I've got to fight for me right.
It matters to you, but it don't matter to me. For me, it's a. It's Black Sabbath. What can I say? It's a 9 out of 10. Lord of the World drags a little bit. A couple of unnecessary fillery interlude-y bits could have fitted another song on there. But again, I think it's just I'll put that down to the time they were released in. But yeah, as much as Sweet Leaf is overplayed and a little over thingy, it's for a reason, and it's still a classic. A lot of the classics are overplayed, but it's still Sabbath in their classic.
And Pollard. And Pollard and De Niro face now.
They were to me. It's pretty much a straight run from the first album all the way through to Sabotage. So it's gonna be. You're not gonna get a lot of knocking from me. It only starts getting dodgy around the technical ecstasy period.
You know that face that De Niro pulls from like fucking every film from Taxi Driver onwards, where he's going, man, he's slightly disappointed. Like he's not like gonna punch you in the face. He's just pulling that face. Like I'm trying to pull it in front of the camera. I've just turned it back on Skype. Like. I can't do it. I knew some lad and he was a cunt, but he could pull the De Niro face, and I'd get him to pull it when I was twatted because I found it really amusing. But like this album is that. It's just, it's not shite, but it's not the best. And there is several good tracks on this album which warrants me giving it a 7 out of 10 because they're fucking massive. But the Bardi tracks are shit and they're shite. And that's what pulled it down from where it could be. I think, in my opinion, it could be an EP, really. But, like, people would have still... If you, 3 tracks at least, bye. For me, 3, gone. And the startup track could be different. Yes, I think it could. It didn't have as much as of an impact and it moaned. But, like, yeah, it's a 7 out of 10. But, like, it's only got that rating, really, because some of the songs on this album are fucking massive. They are massive for me in general. Into the Void, the last one, is a fucking amazing track. And if it wasn't for them tracks, the rating would be lower. And it's I don't understand this big... This is the best album that Sabbath ever done. No! No, it's not. No. Shut up. Yeah. This is a 7 out of 10 for me. It was a good listen, and it was a bad listen at times, and it's like, what the fuck? When they got all happy for me. I'm trying to be nice.
I do wonder when people say it's the best album. To me, it's just a good little segue between, like, if you took Paranoid and Volume 4, that they're completely worlds apart, and this is a good little segue between those two albums, but it's also part of a segue of a winning, of a 6 album streak. So to me, it's just part of a series. But I don't know why people would say this was the best album.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones for me. You've got
Paranoid,
certain seasons.
Paranoid and Volume 4, either side of it. But, yeah.
It's Game of Thrones. Everyone has their favourite little bit. And, like, you've got the bit where everyone gets killed at the wedding, which I actually enjoy because it's violent as fuck. And then you've got your little weird things where the midget ends up becoming the man. And for me, this is just...
Wolf, please.
Politically correct, stick it up your fucking rectum. For me, this is just a pleasant segue to the next important music. But they've got some good shit, but they've got some really poor shit. They've got poor episodes where you're just watching it because you just want to find out what's going to happen to fucking Hodor or some shit. And I can't make it any higher than 7, and I was being generous with that because there's some really shitty songs that should never have been there for me. And I don't understand this fucking plinth thing with this album. I just don't get it. And I can understand with some of the main songs, but at the same time, yeah. The plaudits might be undeserved without me trying to be a cunt. That's how I feel. But yeah, I love some of the songs. Some of the songs are my favourite Sabbath songs, believe it or not. But some of the poorer songs is just trash. So I don't know what we're going to do next. I always ask you, go on then. I hope you don't put Poison or something like that. Because
I'm
quitting.
You'd do that. Oh, I wouldn't. No. I think I gave you a CD a while back. Holy Terror.
I believe you did. It's in one of the racks.
Preferably, I'd like to do the second album, Mine Was, but the band only ever did 2 albums. They literally flew out a demo, did 2 albums back to back, like a year apart, and then split up. So I'm thinking, should we just do a double episode and do both albums? Because they are twin albums. It's, you know, you get those albums where it's 1 and 2. You're never just going to buy one. You need both. I think the first 2 Maiden albums, maybe the Dio, Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules, they're just one and the other. So I think if you can be bothered, do both. If not, do Mind Wars. What do you think?
I would be...
I think these are really interesting albums as well. There's loads going on.
I would be happy to do that, but at the same time, we're allegedly might talk to someone else, so these plans could change. We don't know what we're going to do next, and I think if we're going to talk to someone that we're meant to be talking to next week, then we might do something that they've done. I don't know, but like I'm all up for, like, we've been doing classics, and we spoke about this. This is behind the curtain. We've spoken about this about doing new stuff, and I'm all happy to do new stuff because I have like I said last episode, I deleted 1,700 emails of new music. It's not being a cunt. It's just I'm looking at my inbox, just going blip 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 blip. Every fucking 10 minutes, I've got something else popping in, and I'm sure you've got that thing too, where you're just like, I'm never going to listen to it.
I don't mind doing new albums. I mean, we said, didn't we? We're going to do the new Overkill album.
Yeah.
We'll do that, like a proper review like we normally do, track by track.
I think I really enjoy dragging in someone who's in the band, interviewing them, and then doing the album. I think that would be cool, if, and we've done that in the past, and I've always enjoyed doing that, to be fair. So if we can do that in the future, that would be fun. But have you got anything coming out on the interwebs in magazine form? And I'm still waiting for my magazine, what the fuck are you doing, .com.
I don't know what's happening with the magazine. I'll have to, I don't know. I had this last time with it, though. I didn't hear nothing for ages. Next thing I know, it was like, oh, it's in the post here. So that'll be, but... Malevolent Creation, The Will to Kill, the reissue, Repulsive Echo Records, the pre-order is up now. And yes, this is a very, very cool package. The album looks awesome. Costa said a while back that he wasn't going to do coloured vinyl anymore because it was too much hassle with the factories, but he's obviously changed his mind. So you got 250 with this cool coloured vinyl, or 250 of the black vinyl.
How much is that?
Know.
Because that looks cool. The colour vinyl looks fucking cool as shit.
The little... icon, the, you know, the little bit in the middle with the vinyl.
Oh yeah,
that's a special new piece of art with the knife done as a draw, like an outline drawing. Looks cool as fuck. You get a basically like a, I don't know if it's like a newspaper or a magazine sort of thing, but you've got, I've interviewed everyone in the band apart from Rob Barrett. Rob Barrett, I've been trying for 6 months since the summer, last summer, trying to get hold of Rob Barrett. I just can't get hold of him, and Costas managed to get hold of him, and he just said, don't worry, do it without me. So that's pissed me off, to be honest.
You want the set?
Yeah, that's the one thing that, I mean, Kyle, the vocalist on the album, I was on the phone to him for an hour. I've spoke to everyone else. The only other person was two people, the bass player, Gordon, and the sound engineer, Sean, who also did a guitar solo on one of the songs. Both of those people were really, really busy, and they were cooperative. They went, look, I'm up for doing it, but I just don't know when I can fit you in. And I went, right, fair enough. I'll email you questions, and as and when, just email me back the answers. And they were like, that's perfect. And like, Golden runs his own company now. And he went, that's perfect for me. When I get a quiet half hour, I'll just have a coffee and bang, 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 just do it. Yeah, later that night, like 2 a.m, because obviously the time difference, I got an email. But there you go. There's an exclusive from me. I tried my best. I've been working on it for best part of a year now. But there's in-depth interviews with everyone on the album, apart from Rob Barrett. And I've also done an article about the album as well, track by track review, like we do on the show. I do that on my own with the album. And also, you've got archives in there as well. So you've got flyers, posters, old articles, interviews of the band at the time, reviews, anything that we could find in the press at the time has been compiled and put together in there as well. It's going to look
one thing.
It
I would
looks
say
fucking awesome, and it's a limited edition, and I'm really looking forward for this
so
coming out.
One thing I would say about Repulsive Echo Records is that it is a labour of love, and like from you and from Costas, it is something that like, you love the music, you love the albums, and you spend the time, whether or not it's going to make you a fucking millionaire, it's not really. It's about the love, and that's what I get from that. And that's why we do what we've been doing this for 4 years. How much do you reckon we're in the hole? A few thousand now, at least. Like, at least we're fucking...
Think of it like this. Arrowhead, they put out great editions of cult classic films. If you love that underrated B-movie of horror, it comes with, you know, great artwork, fantastic extras, a restored picture. They put out great editions of films. Repulsive Echo put out great editions of unsung death metal classics, and The Will to Kill is one of those albums. It's such a good album. It's like a baseball bat to the face. Every song is brilliant,
and that's why we should have him on to review an album.
I would like to get Carl Simmons on, actually, because again, I was on the phone to him for a good hour, and he's got a bit of an extensive knowledge of his 70s rock and metal as well. So I think you'd be surprised of what he would select.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We always used to interview people, and we get death metalers who would just give us some random fucking 70s shit, and I always find that random fucking, okay, listen, I play death metal for a living, but at the same time, I'm listening to X or Y, which was totally a fucking random selection from what you would think. whereas we're metalheads and we like to play metal and we like to listen to metal, like death metalers in particular, like to listen to other shit, like to smoke weed mostly and listen to fucking funkadelic shite. It's weird. It's a very weird thing, but it is prevalent in the death metal sector, I found.
Mm, no, definitely.
So,
but yeah, I think it's out in April, but the pre-order's up now.
So do go so get one. Buy, yes, because it looks cool and it sounds cool. And with that in mind, buy it. And it's time for us to leave. I've enjoyed this one. It was a bit of hit and miss for me, but at the same time, it's still Sabbath and it shits on a lot of modern shit that we hear now. But thanks very much for listening. I've enjoyed this one, as I have been for the past fucking many episodes. I've really enjoyed it. So thanks very much for listening. We're gone. See you later.
Ta-da.